The Ewan Grant Podcast, the Limestone Coast Triple M.
G'day, it's Ewan. Welcome to the Ewan Grant Podcast and welcome to everyone joining me on the Listener app. Sarah Philpott, Mount Gambier Council CEO, is dropping by to talk all about the Wollunda Recreation and Convention Centre and a host of other issues that were covered as part of this week's council meeting. Dave Redicke has some really cool news out of our state when it comes to space, and Jade Hill from SAPOL is talking fuel drive-offs and a whole lot more happening across the Limestone Coast. Let's kick things off. Sarah Philpott, hello.
How are you?
You're good. Now, you and the council members this week were talking all about maybe hosting the SA Masters Games.
Yes, yeah, so council has considered whether or not to pursue the idea of a Masters Games in the SA Masters Games in 2024. So the report went up to council to say, did you want us to progress that thinking and start having some conversations about what that might look like? And council has agreed to do that. So while we haven't put a bid in for the games and council hasn't yet resolved to do that, they're certainly interested to start talking with various clubs and groups to see what kind of interest there would be for games to be held here in 2024. So a little bit of a way to go yet, just investigating about how it might work for us and what advantage it might bring our community and our sporting clubs and the like. So some investigations underway on that one.
And Sarah, do we know how many people would be attracted to an event like that in South Australia?
Well, in the report, we did have some information about another games that was held. So we just gave an indication of what it might cost and what the numbers are. Mm-hmm. So really, it involves a whole bunch of different different sporting groups. So it depends on the groups that become involved, but certainly large numbers. In the example that we gave in the report, which was from Port Pirie in 2019, we had everyone from they had everyone from AFL to archery to croquet and darts and the like. So so all different kinds of sporting groups. So numbers are a bit dependent on who gets involved.
That's sensational. Now, CCTV was something that you guys discussed as well. What's going on there?
Yeah, so there's a grant round available at the moment to look at CCTV and security. And so we reported to council that we've applied for a Safer Communities Fund grant. And so that's looking at CCTV, particularly through our railway, the railway corridor and the rail trail project has really been, as you know, very successful in connecting our city up. And partly what we're looking at doing there is some additional CCTV, which just helps people feel like it's a safe place. And there's not been any significant incidents that we're responding to. It's more that we know it's a really important corridor for our community. And as the weather gets better and hopefully COVID restrictions stay off, that there's more and more people using that space. So CCTV is one of those things that helps create that feeling of safety and make sure that people feel good to use those great facilities.
Now, Sarah, there's been some changes to the Local Government Act. What's changed that people need to know about?
So council had a look at when they would prefer a member behaviour framework to come in place. So as part of changes to the Local Government Act, what councillors will have is a framework around what's expected in terms of councillor behaviour. And there was a question being asked, when would we like to see that implemented? So that's one of the changes that's happening in the Local Government Act. Now, that one won't come in until next year, but a conversation about good timing for that one. And in addition, there's been some changes to the way the Local Government Act works that have just come into force. So there are things like how councillors get information and briefing sessions, some changes to the way meetings happen and the like. So so certainly the reform is all really making sure that local government provides great services and facilities to our ratepayers, and so there'll be future changes in things like our the way we engage and consult with our community. So while the Act itself feels like a million miles away from everyone's experience about how they kind of interact with council, it gives us that framework and guidance around how we work with our community. So lots of changes happening, some starting now and some rolling out over the next year or so.
Yeah, totally. Sarah, one of my my great new hobbies is to wander around behind the police station, take a look at the Wallunda construction that is underway at the moment. You guys have been talking about Wallunda as we get closer and closer to the project being finished.
Yeah, certainly. It's so exciting to see the project. It just changes every day. So I'm like you. I do regular drive-bys to see what's changed. So we're certainly excited to see that big project come out of the ground. And one of the things that Council discussed this week was the nature of how we govern the project. And so we've had a committee set up for some time now to really govern the beginnings of the project, and what Council's now decided to do is to bring that information directly into Council and not have that committee anymore. So Council still clearly wants great oversight of the project, so we'll be reporting monthly into the Council meeting and bringing the information in directly to Council, just so that that the whole council's involved in that governance piece. So that's a bit of a structural change for us in terms of the governance around the project. But the most important thing is just to see it starting to really take shape. And I think now everyone in the community can see the scale of it and the great opportunity that it presents in terms of attracting national, local and state events and sporting events and the like to such a big, impressive facility. I think will be the envy of many communities for having something so terrific in place.
It looks incredible from the top of Potter's Point, let me tell you. Sarah, do we know, are we still on track for the opening?
Yeah, so we're continuing to work through. I mean, it does change a little bit as we go along, and obviously wet weather and COVID do have a bit of an impact on a project like this. But you know, we're still the builders on site are just keeping moving along with the project and adapting very much as things change in the face of that. So you know, still heading towards roughly that timeline we've spoken about before, in about the middle of the year, but you know, we do keep a close eye on that just because of some of these complexities that happen in this world we're living in at the moment.
And are those complexities creating I suppose budgetary pressures as well, or are we still on track budget-wise as well?
Yeah, we still continue to work that through. I mean, obviously, if things take a little longer, that does have an impact. But look, at the moment, we're still heading in an okay direction. But my hat's off to the team who are working on site there, who are just proving how flexible and adaptable you have to be. So, as I said before, I think it's pretty exciting to see it coming out of the ground and taking shape. And we'll have more information about, you know, timelines and opening and the like in coming months.
Sarah, it is always good to catch up with what is going on at Council, and I always love talking about the Wallunda Convention and Recreation Centre. Thanks for joining us today.
No worries. Thank you.
Now, Limestone Coasters, I am a nerd, especially when it comes to space. I find myself doing a lot of stargazing when I'm up very, very early, about 3 a.m. in the morning, to come to work. Dave Renicki is a bloke who knows everything about space, and he's got some cool stories to tell us today. Now, David, astronomers are looking for volunteers at the moment. What's going on?
This is to look for water-rich asteroids out there, you know, and there are a lot of them out there. There are many, many asteroids out there, in fact, that display characteristics of having a lot of water in them. And it's an idea that's been germinated by the Citizen Science Program, Citizen Science at Home. Anyone listening, you know, can join up the Citizen Science Program, and they'll give you a database of where these asteroids are. And there are certain type of asteroids. We want to know how many there are there, because these could hold the key to life on Earth. If they contain the amount of water that we think they do, in the past here, they may have been the reason we've got most of our oceans. And life could have been brought here by a process called panspermia, which is, you know, little bits of organisms locked inside these rocks. So it's interesting, isn't it, that people sitting at home with an ordinary computer can take part in a worthwhile science project like that. So it's on my website. Go and have a look at that story. And again, it's called Citizen Science, and you just dial that up on Google and you'll find out how you can take part in it. I think it's a great idea.
Now, David, I am very excited because the heart of space science here in Australia is in South Australia these days, and South Australia has had its first satellite. What can you tell me?
What a go-ahead state. You know, South Australia is certainly showing the way. You've got the Australian Space Agency there at the moment. But look, thanks to a teacher and Ivor Technologies, Inovore Technologies, and Findon High School, the Year 11 students there, have chosen, out of entries of 57 schools, they've been chosen to launch their first satellite, and they're going to do that. It's only very tiny, but it's going to be a landmark, groundbreaking stuff for the kids to become involved in. It's going to be launched in low Earth orbit in 2022. It'll be up there for 3 years, and what it's doing is collecting Earth observation data. So it's not just for the heck of it. There's a company there providing internet services to manage it all, and what they're going to do is look for, they're going to study the coastline of Australia a little bit more closely. It's going to indicate climate policy change or climate change, if any. Mining, et cetera, is going to be looking at any possible mining opportunities to aid farmers in water levels as well, to try and predict crop yields. So it's supporting emergency services as well to allow them to manage bushfires. So your own satellite, a South Australian effort being put into space very soon, one of many, and they've called this Kanyini. It's Aboriginal, Bijinjara word for unconditional love for all. It's also the name of the first satellite designed and built in South Australia as well. So there you go. Launch date not too far away. And what an effort. What a valiant effort from one of these South Australian high schools and the Year 11 students at Findon High.
What a sensational story. And watch this space. We are going to get more space news coming out of South Australia over the course of the next 12 to 24 months. It's time to catch up with Jade from SAPOL. Jade, g'day.
Hey, Ewan, how are you?
You're good. Hey, Jade, school holidays are about to be underway. 2 weeks of the kids at home, maybe some school holidays for people if they want to go away, but it means that there's lots of things that we need to do here in the Limestone Coast to be safe.
I know. It feels like school holidays were only here a couple of weeks ago, doesn't it? But, people need to be mindful about the fact that schools are closed. And historically, there have been many incidents of break-ins, property damage and undesirable behaviour during the school holiday periods overnight and on weekends when the schools are unattended and have less traffic flow around them. So police will be patrolling the schools, and we are seeking assistance from our community, particularly those who live around the perimeters of schools, to identify and prevent criminal activity in their neighbourhood. So this really is a whole community approach whereby we hope to intervene and disrupt the behaviour, creating a safer community for everyone to enjoy. So we need to help the help of our community to be our eyes and ears when we're not necessarily there, because we can't be there all the time. And most incidents do cause substantial loss, having to repair, damage and replace property for the schools, which then takes away from that money being spent on the kids to enjoy other programs and things like that within the school. So the school holiday period may allow for more opportunity for unlawful activity due to the closure of the school and less people being present in those areas. Another thing, Ewan, for people to think about is home security. So that's equally as important during this time, because families might be venturing away on holidays. Not that we can travel too far, but it is a good idea to have a trusted friend or family member collect mail and put the bins in and out on collection day. Even just having someone attending frequently to show movement at the property is helpful, and also using timers for lights and talkback radio. Leaving the yard tidy also gives the impression that the house is occupied, and obviously locking all windows, doors, gates and sheds before leaving and taking any spare keys with them away as well. But should anyone see any suspicious activity on or about the school grounds or a private home, please call 131444 immediately. Alternatively, if you have any information or you're aware of any information relative to school offending or house break-ins, please call Crime Stoppers on 1800 333 000, or you can report it online at www.crimestoppersSA.com. www.lifestylecoach.com.au.
If you see something, say something.
Yes, and we want to hope everybody has a really safe school holidays.
Now, Jade, it's been an interesting time on our roads in the last week. We've had drinking, we've had speeding, and we've had drugs on our roads.
Yeah, it's actually scary, Ewan. About 7 p.m. on Saturday the 18th of September, Limestone Coast Police detected a white Ford Ute travelling at 142 kilometres per hour in a 110k zone on the Riddoch Highway at Tarpina. So the 52-year-old male from Mount Gambier returned a positive reading of 0.201, more than four times the legal limit. He was reported for drink driving and speeding and will appear in a court at a later date. The man has also been issued with a 12-month immediate loss of licence and his vehicle has been impounded for 28 days. The Limestone Coast also had another driver who was caught at 0.087, receiving an immediate loss of licence, and there were five other drivers detected with drug driving as well, and another one overnight. So this is just so dangerous. My hope is that anyone out there choosing to drive at excessive speed, drink or drug driving is caught before they actually kill or seriously injure someone.
Absolutely. Now, Jade, there's been some fuel drive-offs as well in the Limestone Coast. What's happening?
Yeah, it seems to be going nuts lately. People have recently seen, we've seen an increase in fuel drive-offs at various petrol stations, and that's across the Limestone Coast. It's not just in Mount Gambier. Most petrol stations have invested in quality CCTV cameras. So that will allow for identification of offenders and successful prosecutions, hopefully. So offenders need not think that they can get away with it. And it's like all thefts or stealing, Ewan. If you can't pay for it, you have no right to it. And why should a business or person be at a loss?
Absolutely. Hey, Jade, it's always good to catch up to find out what's going on. It's always good to keep the community informed, especially as we lead into the school holidays. Thanks, as always, for having a chat to us.
Thanks for having me.
Jade Hill from SAPOL. That's it for today's podcast. I'll be back on Tuesday for everything Limestone Coast. Have a great weekend. Don't forget to catch up with everything happening across the Limestone Coast. Make sure you look out for the Mount Gambier Local Guide on Listener. You can catch up with me live on the radio, 6 a.m. weekday mornings on the Limestone Coast, 963 Triple M.